This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Welcome back to The Runout Live. My name is Han Torbert, also known as Han Meets World, and today we'll be chatting with Mine Dedekocam. Based in Istanbul, Mine is the founder and chief happiness officer of Happy Work Studio and played a key role in the creation of Turkey's Digital Nomad Festival. In this episode, we talk about what remote work and culture mean beyond location, the rise of solopreneurship, and what it means to create a career that is aligned for you. Let's grab a coffee or tea or something stronger, and let's get started. Amazing. Mine, welcome to The Remote Work Podcast. How are you today?
I am feeling a little cold because it started getting cold in Italy, but I'm all heated up for this podcast because I know how much we were looking forward to this one. And I'm so glad that this is my first one in 2026. So this is going to be a great start to my year.
That's just music to my ears. And hey, it's snowing here in the UK, so we could be chilly and freezing together. It's all good.
It was snowy here last week too, and they're expecting more snow, which I cannot complain about. But I love snow. So in this winter, let it be totally a winter, not just like a half winter.
I feel like in Istanbul, though, it was a magical sort of vibe, though. I remember it briefly snowed when I was there a couple years ago, and it was a bit more magical. It was very cute.
Yeah, this time when I took you to the Turkish breakfast place.
Oh my gosh. We were shivering outside, but it was so worth it. I've never had a Turkish breakfast before. It's just like an absolute delight of little plates of cheeses, meats, breads, like spreads, tea, obviously Turkish.
We jams.
Eggs, everything. Oh my gosh. Turkish breakfast is just a vibe. Well, you should know everything's just going. And we'll talk about that more as we get like further into the podcast. But I thought just to kick things off, tell us about you and your remote life journey so far.
So it has been such a journey over the last 1 year. My journey started back in 2012. So it was a little hard at the beginning because people did not know about it. And I was struggling to tell people about viability of this model, that you can even find a corporate job while you're working remotely. Because back then people thought that it was only like a freelance gig or like a part-timer, so that it could not be a real, like a full-time, a decent job that would bring you some cash, like a steady cash. But in time, I proved that to be wrong with my own career as well. So whatever I'm telling people, whatever I'm preaching, I'm walking the talk with my experience too. So it's not only that I am talking about it, but I'm living that kind of life. I don't like to call myself a digital nomad because I'm not like a digital nomad per se, but I like to call it like a spectrum. And on that spectrum, you can be anywhere on the spectrum. Like you can be on this end where you are traveling all the time and just you are not having any base, or on the other side of the spectrum where you are mostly based and you're just like working remotely from your home. I'm something in between, because whenever the schools are off, because I still have my kids in the traditional school system, when the school is off, or when I am where I am just like feeling like I'm changing my place to work from another place. And that's the beauty of it. It's not about the location. It's not, people are so much obsessed about the idea of being like location free versus being bounded by an office, that they miss an important thing about remote work, which is that you're boundless. You're boundless not only by location, but by feeling, by trying, but by how you are doing your work. So that has been my experience. And I cannot even imagine to go back to a traditional 9-to-5 office job. And it's not only about being a corporate job versus doing my own thing, but it's about like the structure, about how I'm doing it. And over the last 1 year, it's been really such a journey for me in terms of putting things together into a concrete event too, because we did the first Digital Nomad Festival in Turkey, which has been my dream since, I don't know, since on trip 2018. And I've been talking with a lot of friends, a lot of people to make it happen. And so this year we made it happen. So it's real. It happened for once. We will be doing it again. So that was a great culmination of what I have been planning and what I have been dreaming. And so for the last 1 year, it's been even a better journey, a more exciting journey for me.
Absolutely. Honestly, the Digital Nomad Festival looked magical. So for context, it was in Alanya, which is in the south of Turkey, which the whole aesthetic of the outside looks absolutely amazing. I remember you and I talking about it, and then now seeing it come to fruition is so exciting. Maybe first of all, we can tell people, like, we talk to people about that as a concept, and because it's happening again this year, right?
Yes. So it's going to be again at the same time of the year. At the end of October, we will be doing the second one. And even better than that is that we have people in Alanya. Now we started having a community, which I think is the most important thing, because if you just make it limited to an event once a year, then it's not serving its real purpose, because then you're bringing people flying away, and for until the next one, there is nothing happening. What we are trying to build is a community in Alanya, and we now have people coming back, even from the event. People are coming back to stay in Alanya for some time. We have locals there, so we will be having events. Because the thing that we are trying to tell this world is that there you don't have to be in a big city to like work, to live. You can, that's why like we are intentionally picking places that are not big cities. But we have, of course, some criteria, having easy access to airports, having the variety of accommodation, affordability, climate. Those are the things that, of course, we are taking into consideration. But small cities, they need the support because they are just having this potential. They have everything, but they are not on the map of people, like on the radar of people to be an alternative for living. So that's why we are not only doing the event again, but we are now in the process of building that community and working with the local authorities as well to make Alanya a destination for digital nomads.
I think that's exactly it, right? It's the remote working doesn't look one way. There are so many different ways that it looks. So I feel like paint us a picture of what the event will look like this year. So if anybody's thinking, oh, Alanya, never heard of that, but that sounds super interesting. Paint us a picture. What does a typical maybe day or like general vibe look like at the Digital Nomad Festival?
So what makes us different than the other? Because there are like lots of Digital Nomad Festivals that in the space, and most of them are my friends. So like we are supporting each other. What makes us different is two things. One is, and the most important thing is the authenticity. What we want to do was to connect it to the traditional nomadism of the Turkish culture, because Turkish people are nomads. We came from Central Asia. We have been nomads since we knew. And like that one, that's engraved in our culture. That's engraved in how we're living. And there are still nomad villages in Turkey. So with our inspiration from Andrea, because like he was suggesting that we think more about our traditions. It wasn't like the new way of living, but they're also the root where we're coming from. And Turkish people are coming from this nomadic culture. So that's what's making us different, because we, like our event space was a tent, a nomadic tent from the nomadic fabric, real traditional nomadic fabric. And the tent was the event space on the beach, on the sand. So when our participants came, they were like, when the beaches were being bumped, it was like on the sand under this traditional fabric. So it felt this is the vibe that's coming from the ancient time of Turkish people when they were landed in Alanya. So this was the kind of life that they were living. So we are replicating that same kind of life. We are mimicking that life and taking it further and just feeding it with more content and making it available for the people of today. So that's one thing. The other one is we had the chance to immerse people into the food, the culture, the surroundings. This year, we are planning to do that more because last year, we had a lot of speakers, we had a lot of content, and people were just like really tired of the talks and the content. So for this year, we are intentionally designing the event to be like more relaxed, more time, more free time to enjoy Antalya, to just get around the city, to know more about the culture, the Turkish culture, the surroundings, the history, nature. So if people are interested, they will be finding more of those when they come to Alanya. And the other one is we have less focus. We like to call our festival to be focused on solopreneurship. And this is, and also AI. We had an AI bootcamp, solopreneurship bootcamp last year. And this is going to stay as our focus. If anyone's interested in being a solopreneur with it.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
They're like already a solopreneur, how to just observe their business, or they haven't been experiencing that kind of life, but want to just dip their toes into the water, then this is going to be the right place to be, because like we will have lots of experts who have done it before. And just helping them into this journey of being a solopreneur.
That's so interesting as a concept. And that especially piqued my interest. I guess there'll be people listening who may also wonder, okay, so what do they maybe need to know about solo entrepreneurship as well? What for you is that distinction? And what did they maybe need to know slightly differently, or might be surprised to know that it's different from traditional entrepreneurship, perhaps?
So now solopreneurship, especially with the now AI tools and this new way of working, it has become more popular. And we're expecting to see some solopreneur unicorns in the near future. And why? Because now it's easier to access like the platforms to do things with AI, like coding. You don't need to do coding with write coding. The tools can write you the code. You can just start your own business. I just met one person last week. Not met him, but I already knew him. But I got to know about his new business. He started a business by himself, a solopreneur. He was like, as a solopreneur, you're the solo person. You're like one person and your company is all you. And he has AI agents, I think 3 AI agents, or 3 AI agents and himself. He just hired a contractor for the newsletter, for the newsletter. Other than that, he's by himself. He has 346 clients. And he is only targeting to have 500 at most. And he posted about this. He said, I'm capping it at 500. Over 500, I'm not going to take it because he wants to build this lifestyle business. He does not want to burn himself out running after, you know, the customer problems or just like, you know, the investment or that rush. He just wants to have his life and he wants to enjoy it. He wants to keep his business steady. And we will be seeing more of these people in the near future. Because as a solopreneur, you have an idea. You want to build it into a concrete business plan. That's the most important thing, how to just create a business model, how to generate that cash. Once you have that decent, steady business model, then you can take it into a concrete business, either, let's say, doing coding, white coding, or using the platforms, and then you're done. And then it's all about marketing. It's all about putting yourself forward. And now we are also seeing that the solopreneurs are like more focused people. They're focusing on one problem. So what is the problem that I want to solve? And they're focusing only on one problem. They're solving that problem. They're creating their solution. And there you go. You have the business. So that's totally different from what we have seen as a traditional entrepreneurship, where you have big teams, big businesses focusing on several problems. No, this is a time where we are now going to be seeing more niches, more focused entrepreneurs, only focusing on one problem, only focusing on maybe trying to solve one problem. And I think for the next 10 years, we will be seeing more of these people.
That's so interesting. I guess also, whereas before, for example, having the support of these big teams, like you mentioned, now support perhaps looks like having your community, like having a community that's not necessarily related to your business, but you've got your solopreneurship community as well. So that's so intriguing.
I'm so glad that you mentioned community, because community is everything. Now you are as valuable as your network is. Network, community, I think every business has to spend time and like intentional time on building their own community. Because now we will be seeing now this is going to be the era of tribe. Yes. So whose tribe is more powerful than the other? Now we will be just getting together with our tribes and getting that support from the tribe, not from, as you said, not from the team, not from those big teams, but from our tribes, who are our people. We have to find our people who are surrounding you, who are supporting you.
Oh, I'm so intrigued to see how this, because I feel like this is just not how business was done before. I feel it's so interesting seeing it adapt and seeing like what's next and how people are building next, and then balancing that sort of relationship between tech and people at the same time, and just seeing how that changes. That's so interesting. I feel though we haven't talked too much about Happy Work Studio yet and your work with teams. So do you want to talk a little bit more about that and how you help teams as well?
So on the Happy Work Studio, I think it could not have been more timely than this, because now everyone's talking about AI, technology, everyone's so much burnout because of this pace, and like they cannot keep up with this pace. So now this is where Happy Work Studio gets into the play, because we're talking about well-being, we're talking about creating these happy work culture. We've been working with a couple of companies to strategize their well-being initiatives, because what companies have been doing is people are so much burned out that they were trying to put the fire off. So they thought that we can get them a meditation app or a mental health app, and that will just like do the magic. Or we would just give them a happy hour and we could take them to a picnic and that will do the magic. No, what we're saying is that no, that's only like a band-aid. And for that, with that band-aid, you can only go on for 2 days, 3 days, maximum a week. But what we are doing with Happy Work Studio is we are building the program, like a strategy for well-being with 5 pillars. We are working with the World Happiness Foundation. And the framework that we're using is a U.S. Surgeon General's framework of well-being at work. And we have 5 pillars there, and we are touching all those 5 pillars when we are strategizing the well-being. And that includes autonomy, that includes work-life harmony, that includes the protection from harm, where it's like about the tools that you're using, about the furniture that you're using, about the psychological safety that you have in the company or that you don't have in the company. As the opportunity for growth, how much opportunity you are giving to your employees to grow. So we are touching all those five pillars. And whatever the company is doing, whatever they are taking as an initiative, we make sure that it touches either of those pillars. Otherwise, because it's going to be a waste of time, money, and energy. So now we have been working with a couple of companies for that. Now we will be starting to work with the cities. And I have also done a couple of sessions with the schools, especially the state schools, doing happiness sessions. And we're trying to create those happy cities, happy companies, and happy schools. So that's on the Happy Work Studio side. And the most important thing about that is we're also collaborating with other companies to create programs, new programs. Now, we recently launched one, completed one cohort, launched a second cohort of a program called Retouch, which is a well-being program for leaders. We are training the leaders. And it's like a personal journey too, but we're also training them how to be more well-being focused, how to be more people focused. And just like a extreme program where they are feeling more grounded, better, and just on their personal terms, better leaders with a better mental health. Supposedly. And it's not only like a traditional training that we're teaching them. Leadership training is usually effective listening, giving good feedback. No, this is like beyond that. This is like, first, how are you feeling? Are you feeling better? Are you feeling okay so that you can be okay when you're treating other people? It's teaching them how to put the oxygen mask on them first.
I love that analogy so much. Is there anything you think that people might be surprised to know when it comes to well-being at work, or the remote work? Is there any sort of differentiators that people maybe haven't thought about when it comes to managing the well-being of your team, or your remote team?
So like with the remote teams, now people, usually what we see with people is there are like a couple of themes that come up when we are questioning remote work and how people are also questioning remote work. One of them is isolation, the feeling of isolation. They say that remote work makes you feel more isolated. And that also has an impact on the well-being too. But in reality, everything that they tell about remote work, that remote work is not working, it's just impacting on a negative term, is because they are not doing it the right way. This is what we are telling. So if you're listening to this, if you feel isolated, then you have to just look at yourself, how you are working remotely. You might be feeling isolated because you are not making those intentional breaks to meet with new people, or just maybe you have to go to a co-working space to meet new people. People are just like taking this isolation in a way that if you're working, let's say, in an office, in a company, and you see the same people, literally the same people.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Every day, for years. Is that not feeling isolated? I call it comfort zone. That's not being feeling like not being in that isolation zone. I think you're isolated in that sense because you're just like seeing the same people, making the same connections, even doing the same small talk. So this is not the way to get away from that isolation. The real remote work experience gets you the opportunity to meet new people every day. It's even beyond that isolation. It's social, getting social. It's like getting to know new minds, new perspectives, new mindsets. So whatever you are doing wrong in remote work is going to hurt you at the end. But that's why it has to be intentional. It has to be in a way that is for real, not only changing your space or just like taking your laptop and going home and just working like a hamster from morning till dawn. And people are just like saying, you cannot disconnect. People working expected from me when I'm working remotely. It's up to you. It's, you are accountable for that. As long as, of course, as long as the company gives you that psychological safety and enough tools that pace that you can just like autonomously work like that. But this is what usually surprises people when I tell them that, no, this is up to you. You define the terms. You make it work like, you know, that you have this. You are owning your schedule. Because you cannot have lunch, it's not because of the employer, it's because of you. It's because you're not putting that lunch break in between. Or because you're not saving. Like I am now doing most of my meetings. It's just not like this, that I don't need to be face to face. I'm doing walking meeting because like I am then exercising. I am outside getting fresh air and I'm just like doing my meetings at the same time. So finding those tricks, finding like living the benefit of that flexibility. This is what's beautiful about remote work. It's all about the flexibility. You own your day, you own your schedule, you own how you do your meetings, and you have the ownership. So you're living in a world where you have your ownership of your life. You're not on autopilot or you're not expecting others to make those decisions for you, but you're the one who's making that decision for yourself, for your life.
Give me so much food for thought, but it made me think of also, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. I'm seeing a lot of industries and teams and HR is, from my perception, I feel like we're still not asking the right question about remote work, which is, do you be in an office or not? Do we bring the team back to the office or not? And I feel like that is almost not the right question that teams should be asking. And to me, what I'm noticing is there is a kind of lack of culture, or if it's talked about, it's within the spectrum of the office's culture, work culture. What would you say that remote work culture looks like?
So I think you tapped on to a very important thing. Because like at Happy Work Studio, this is what we talk about. We talk about culture all the time. Even with AI transformation, we say, no, if it's not a culture transformation, then we're not talking about a healthier transformation. If it's like a remote work transformation, it has to start with culture. And you said you'll have to ask the right questions for the culture transformation. So what are those things? Like a remote work culture comes with flexibility. That's one thing. As I mentioned, flexibility has to be on the top. So are you giving that accountability? And accountability comes with, you know, not only the decision making, but also with the required tools. So if you're not giving the accountability, then you will be doing micromanaging, and micromanaging from remote is going to hurt you. So that's why leaders are struggling, because they're not doing it the right way. So if you are micromanaging, then you have to be on top of your team all the time, which is really tiring. So in a remote work culture, one, flexibility, two, accountability and ownership. Because the collaboration, the tools that they're using has to be in place so that people can do things at their own time, given that the tools are there, the processes are there, because then they don't have to be there synchronously. They can work asynchronously. Asynchronous is another word that defines remote work. And so they can just do it at their own time. Because even now when we're talking about remote work, even the companies that they say that they're working remotely, they're working remotely in their own geographies. But when we are talking about the real remote work, is working from anywhere around the globe. And for those companies, a team might have someone working from the US and Australia. which is hours apart from India to the US. So that team has to have these tools, the collaboration tools, so that everyone can have their own terms, their own time, and their own pace, which takes me to another thing about the report, which is the KPIs. Each remote organization has to have strict KPIs for people. They have to know their goal, what they need to achieve. That has to be clearly communicated, and the tools and the tracking has to be in place, really, so that people don't need to even control their team. So the leaders can then be the supporters for their teams. They're not the gatekeepers. They should be the supporters. They should be the people who give them that space of freedom, that space of thriving. So that person is going to have that psychological safety, that freedom, that flexibility to do whatever they do the best. And can you imagine all the things that I'm now saying? Can you imagine that being in an organization? People have the flexibility. People have the accountability and ownership to do things. They have clear goals. They know what they are being asked to do this week, this month. And they are just like having this leader who's supporting them and making sure that they are at their best selves and striving at whatever they do the best. This is so simple. This is so simple. The other way around is harder, but people don't realize this.
I'm intrigued. What do you mean? What do you mean by harder?
Okay. So the harder is because the other way is like taking more time and it's like more cluttered and more processes. People have to do more things. You have to be managing more. You have to spend for a leader. That leader has to just spend more time to control what has been done or haven't been done. The team has to just put more time into, let's say, in-person meetings or even synchronous meetings, online meetings. They have to come together. And by the way, no work gets done when people are together. So pre-work has to be done so that when they come together, the creativeness can work well. And what the people do is usually they come together in meetings. They do all that brainstorming and nothing gets done. Usually it gets pushed away for another meeting and another meeting. So this makes people calendars cluttered. It's just hours and hours of talk with no action. So that's why it's really harder. And then think about being a leader who provides that safe space for people to thrive versus a leader who tries to keep control of things, who tries to track what people are doing, how much they're working, how many hours, from where, from what, you know, all those questions versus just being there, having the presence. It's so simple. Think about even the feeling when I'm just like talking about it, even the feeling when I'm just like articulating is different.
It's interesting. This is just something that pops into my brain. Do you think there are tangible elements to this? I feel like when you say culture, for example, or like you find so many amazing ways to measure it there. But I feel like companies still get stuck on if it's not tangible, or like even there was an HR lady in a roundtable I did recently who said, oh, they're going to miss like peak moments of office life, like water cooler conversation. I feel like companies still don't really understand how simple it is and actually how measurable it still is for them. What would you maybe say to some of the people who still live in this bubble of offices, the best way to work?
What I tell those people is I have fans all over the world from my remote work companies. And that's the beauty. Like those water cooler conversations, I can have it around the world. I can even do couch surfing around the world for at least 2 years if I get to just visit all my friends from my remote work experiences. What is important is building your community. So the same thing that I said about the companies is true, solopreneurs is true for the companies, company culture. To give you an example, for the last 3.5 years at Flirtasalt, I've been doing the lean in circles for women. And the level of deepness in those conversations, how much we get connected with those women, is unbeatable. And you cannot get that deep in a water cooler conversation, or like a random conversation in an office space. So it's not about the proximity. It's not about that being physical. It's about building that profoundness, that deepness, that authenticity. And you can do it virtually as long as the emotion is there, the intention is there, that authenticity, that being genuine is there. So when they are building these, they have to, that's why I'm saying that they have to be intentional. They have to really build these for connecting people, for getting them on terms where they are just like expressing themselves freely or just being themselves as they are. And that, with those, you know, network companies, I have been, even I think with you, maybe, yeah, before we met, it was like a virtual connection. Then it came to be an in-person connection. I have lots of friends, like with Evil, with Nina. I mean, we knew each other before we met in person. I think like with Evil, it was like almost maybe 3 years that we knew each other from virtual until we met for the first time in person in Portugal at Running Remote. And we were just like hugging each other and just like saying, oh, no, this is for some people. I don't even realize that it's mine when we get this in-person meeting. You're just like thinking, is this our first time in person? Because it does not feel like that. It's about the feeling. It's about building those authentic connections with people. It's not about having that in-person connection. It's about having heart-to-heart connection. And heart-to-heart connection doesn't happen physically. And it travels beyond physical spaces.
When Mariah's just not exploding, but just throwing an agreement, and it's just so refreshing to hear someone say it so plainly and like just say what we've all been thinking, but I've not known how to necessarily say it out loud. The thing about virtual connection also is that it takes out that sort of slightly weird sort of mean ickiness. I suck at small talk. I'm like, tell me like the deep stuff, tell me like all the details quick. And I feel like having virtual connections, it removes that barrier to entry that, I don't know, to me, I know existed in the water cooler conversation too. So many different things to take away. And I really hope there are people listening in right now that are going, okay, but we're seeing a lot of like remote work disappearing supposedly at the moment. I'm like, is that a thing? Is it going to decrease? Like, what is it? And actually, of course, ultimately what it is about is allowing people to work how they need to.
Ultimately,
like it's allowing them to have the flexibility for them to do their best work too. And you know, for myself, the last decade, I've been saying it's not about the place necessarily. It's about having the environments that are best suited to you and joining us to get the best work you can done.
And so like when you say remote work is like fading away, because that's what we are seeing, because like it's that's like more hybrid right now.
Telling us, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, this is now evolving to be like not only remote work, but the structural work. Because now we will be seeing more fractionals. And this is all, I think it boils down to one word, flexibility. People want flexibility. So it doesn't matter where you're working from, how you're working, but it's all about flexibility. People don't want to be bounded by locations, by time plans, by roles even. Because with the new generation, we will be seeing just like with more people that they don't want to be bounded by a title. They don't care about the titles. They care about their impact, how much impact that they're creating. If they can create it with two roles, then we will be having two roles in their lives, or even maybe three. Or it's going to be about the impact, how much impact you're creating in this role versus the other one. Or can you, how much more can you take on your plate? As long as you're, because for some people, they just can take up to only one on their plate. But like for myself, I have parallel careers and I like it that way because that feeds each other and that's my energy level and not everyone has to be the same. So now we are entering into a phase where you have to find your own rhythm. Find your own rhythm, own your own rhythm.
I could keep listening to you as always and keep chatting, but I'm just super wary of the time. So I'm just thinking for anybody, perhaps, especially now we're in January, a lot more people tend to be looking for work and trying to figure out what matters for them. Can you give us like a couple sort of tips that you would offer to people right now to help them find their tune or their rhythm, as you said?
First, listen to your heart, because I'm not, no one's like listening to their heart. If you listen to your heart, you can even hear the heartbeat. And that's what I'm talking about. So this is not spiritual. I'm talking actually about the real heartbeat. But we have so many distractions, so much noise that we even forgot to hear our heartbeat. So that is the anchor. That is your anchor. What does your heartbeat about? What is it that makes your heartbeat? We'll find that. Now I have this new concept called unlocated. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like stuck in any place in your life, might it be your relationship, the place that you're living, and or your job, what is it that you want to unlocate from? So location is not only about the physical location. It's when you are located. What is the feeling, the emotion that you're located in? What is the relief? What is the situation? First, you have to unlocate yourself from that. And just you realize that, just be aware. It's only about the awareness. What is it that doesn't serve you anymore? What are those feelings that are not serving you anymore? What are those things that feel like making you drained? First, you have to just from that. And I like to create this analogy, the metaphor, the traffic metaphor. So when you are stuck in the traffic and rushing to, let's say, a meeting or like an airport, and you just feel anxious, you have that anxiety, even stressful, or maybe even anger. And when you make it to your meeting, let's say in the skyscraper, in the plaza, or when you're on the plane, you look at that traffic and it starts to look even enchanting because of the lights, the kind of lights flickering. When you're in it, it's all about anxiety. It's all about that stress. So you have to unlocate yourself from that friendly so that you can have a better view, because that traffic might also be working for you and you might not have realized that it's working for you. So it's first unlocating yourself from that belief, from that emotion, just being free, seeing in the sky, up in the sky, no noise, no feelings, nothing, just closing everything down, even your gender. To being genderless. We have a meditation for that, by the way. I love it. Just closing the apps. You're just like closing all the apps in your mind about yourself, about all the identities. So putting aside all the identities, being you and only you. With you, your heartbeat and your breath. And what is it that you want to design? What is it that's going to make your heart beat? What is it that you want to be involved more? So what are those things that you can do easily? And to start with that, what are the things that you don't like to keep in your life? Just, you know, unlocating from all those so that you are like, everything is plain. You have a fresh field. And what are those things that you want to plant so that you are redesigning your field?
So where can people check out that meditation?
I just realized because I usually do it during my sessions. Okay. I have a recorded version too, but now that gave me an idea. Maybe I can just make it a downloadable one so that people can download and do it themselves.
I would happily bet that there are definitely people listening thinking, I absolutely want to get my hands on that. So keep us posted and I'll make sure that
I will.
We share about it as and when it goes live. Is there anything else that we should be keeping an eye on, like with your work in the next year?
So I'm doing lots of things. And it's even for me, it's really hard to tell how my year is going to end.
Okay.
I'm a personal flow. I really, sometimes people ask me like, how can we keep up with your work? Or I say, just follow me on LinkedIn. That's usually where I post. So you can just follow me on LinkedIn so that you are less confused about what I'm doing. And for this year, I really want to keep only the things that are just like keeping my mood up. That's the only thing. And that's what I recommend everyone to do. So I think 2026 is going to be the year where we are going to receive blooming, because we have planted those seeds. Some did not grow, which is okay. Mm-hmm. There's always a good reason why things are not happening. If things are not happening, just don't question it. Then it was a good thing. Because when we look back, we usually realize that they did not happen always for a good reason. Just go with the things that you can take expected, like harvest. This is the harvest time. Just make sure that you're harvesting them on time, because sometimes that's what we fail to do. We just miss harvesting them. And that we lose that chance, but there's always a second chance or a chance. Life always gives you the chance as long as you stay in your path. I mean, find your true path, stay in your path. If you're not in your own path, your own design, let's say, life is going to get you out of that path and try to put you in the right path. So try to see those signs.
Amazing words to leave off, I think. Final question. Fill in the blank. Home is where?
Home is where my heart is.
Perfect. Mina, I hope there is another Turkish breakfast or two on our horizon very soon. It's been amazing to chat as always. And yeah, I can't wait to see what you get up to this year.
Thank you so much. This was an amazing start to my year. And always happy to host you with treat you with a good Turkish breakfast in Istanbul.
Oh, TBD. Yeah. All right, go. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Remote Life, and thank you, Mina, for taking the time to speak with us. You can find links to her profiles below. Thank you so much again for listening, and we can't wait to remote work with you again soon.